What happens when a SaaS giant accidentally grants modify all permissions to every user in every customer org? Spoiler alert, it's not pretty. Join me and my co-host as we explore the fallout from this real-world cloud catastrophe. We'll discuss how Salesforce scrambled to restore proper permissions, the frustration felt by locked-out customers, and the crucial role third-party backups could have played. You'll learn why relying solely on your SaaS vendor's recovery capabilities might leave you high and dry, and how having your own backups can save the day when things go sideways in the cloud. If this is your first time listening, hi, I'm W. Curtis Presson, also known as Mr. Backup. My career in backup began over 30 years ago when my backups failed and my company was unable to restore their purchasing database. I vowed that would never again happen to me, and it's my goal to do the same for you. I want to turn you, the unappreciated backup admin, into a cyber recovery hero. This is the Backup Wrap-Up. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, W. Curtis Presson, a.k.a. Mr. Backup. And with me, I have my election primary worker anxiety consultant.
How's it going, Curtis? Yeah, it's that time of year, or I guess every couple of years, where the election happens. And
There's no word for like 2 years, is there? It's that time of
biannual. It's weird that bi counts as both like half as well as 2x.
Yeah, don't get me started on English. All right, semi or bi, right? So I will once again be an election worker for the upcoming California presidential primary. And tomorrow is the setup day. This year, I am running an 11-day vote site.
Wow, crazy! So you will be a busy, busy man.
I will be, well, that's a different point, because ask me how many people I think I'll see in the first 10 days.
I'm going to say 21.
Yeah, I think that might be high. Because what happens is everybody comes on election day. I mean, I'm glad we have early voting, right? I really am. I believe in access and I even like the 11-day sites, because there are some people that have jobs that just really mess up a week. So 4 days isn't enough for some people. Yeah. I believe in access to elections. It's just that, you know, everybody comes on election day and then we go, yeah, well, we've been here for 11 days. Yeah. And they're like, what?
I would normally go vote like when they used to have the neighborhood polling place. I used to go vote in person on the day of the election. I wouldn't go ahead of time. I would just go like early in the morning and I just go be done and come back.
Yeah. So we're there. By the time this episode airs, the primary will already be over. I love participating in the process and I will answer any and all election questions that anybody has. And I'll say the same thing that I say every time this comes up. If you have any doubt as to the integrity of your election process, do one of or both of two things. One, volunteer as an election worker. That is, you get so much insight into the process and how it works. Number two, be an observer. You are legally allowed to observe every single portion of the election process, right? You know, where the votes are initially cast, where they are received, how they are counted. You can view the incredibly boring way in which the
counting room
is this, well, not just the counting room, but there is this process. The most boring part of the process is when they do a 1% manual count. So they take 1% of the cartons that the ballot cartons that are going to contain anywhere from 20 to 200 votes, you know, and they sit there at a table with like four people and they read it one by one, and then those four people tally it up, and then they compare numbers, and the numbers all have to match, and they have to match what the machine said, the box did. My wife has done that process, but oh my Lord, it's like watching paint dry.
I was just going to think, Curtis, you're probably going to be like, okay, one ballot, two ballot, three ballots, like counting sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm excited to participate in the process, but I do have a certain amount of anxiety, as I was alluding to, a certain amount of anxiety, because there are people, right? People who need people to yell at.
I think the other thing to note is it's not like they're just throwing you to the wolves, right? So you go through training.
Right? I go through a lot of training, right? Right. Yeah. 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 And I'm experienced. The other people are experienced. Yeah. It's not wolf throwing and they have lots of support, right? So there's a phone number, the poll worker hotline, which I have saved as a contact in my phone. I just have them as, yeah. I have them as ROV, the Registrar of Voters, right? Yeah. That's their first and last name. And I just call them, you know.
Yeah, but you don't need to have the experience that you did, because when you first started all this, you didn't have that experience either, right? You were a newbie, right?
Yeah.
Who was learning the ropes as well. And so you don't have to think that.
You're speaking to the people that I'm saying participate. Yes,
yeah.
I think you should participate. By and large, it is a very easygoing, peaceful process. Every once in a while, there are some challenging people. And you just pass those over to your more experienced site manager, which is me. So it's a little bit of anxiety. But anyway, let's get on to what, you know, this is part of this series that we have called Cloud Disasters. And this is yet another cloud disaster. The cloud is just computers that somebody else is running. And in this case, it's a database that someone else is running.
Yep.
And we get people all the time that want to argue, oh, well, I don't need to back up Salesforce. I don't need to back up Microsoft 365. It's part of the service. It's not, right? Yep. It's just not. It's not in your service description. Go look at it if you don't believe me.
And even if it was part of your service description, you don't know if you could trust them.
That's one of the stories. We're going to get to that, right? The OVH story proves. We have a story. Literally every comment that we don't make this. We don't just make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up, right? We have stories behind every one of the recommendations that we make. And this series is about telling these stories. And this is a good one. Everybody should know what Salesforce is, right? Just in case you don't, Salesforce is, I think, the OG SaaS app, right? I'm sure there was another before, but they were the first one that really took off. Their actual phone number is 1-800-NO-SOFTWARE. I don't know if you knew that.
No, but I didn't know that.
I remember that from many days gone by. And they are a CRM, a customer relationship management software, right? And I remember using one of their competitors back in the day when I had my own company. And oh my Lord, is it so much easier to use Salesforce, especially when you have multiple salespeople that are, all interacting with a variety of leads. And again, to preface this story, I'm going to explain how this works in a big org. I've been a salesperson, and most salespeople are commissioned, and they're going to attack any lead that you give them, and because they're commissioned to do so.
Yep.
And the only thing that prevents them, you know, you give these leads to this person, these leads to this person, and the only thing that prevents Steve from jumping all over Janet's leads is permissions. Yep. Right. In a large database like Salesforce, you assign permissions. You create groups of leads and you give permission to Steve or to a certain team. Right. There's different ways to do it, but you divvy out these leads by way of permissions. Right. And that prevents Steve from going over and, you know, stomping all over Janet's leads.
Yeah.
And, but then something happened. So why don't you? When did this happen and what happened?
So it was back in 2019. So it was a ways ago, And what ended up happening is Salesforce ran a script. And what the script did is it allowed everyone in an organization to be able to modify and access all records in that organization.
Yeah.
And so in your example of Steve and Janet, Steve could now see everything Janet had, could go stomp on it and be like, hey, by the way, Janet, you're actually not as far along as you said you were, or change the dollar amount of the lead and other things like that.
Or Steve could also delete all of Janet's leads if that's what – Steve is a very bad person. If he wanted to go delete all her leads or just delete, you know, like any interaction that she had with the clients, right? If you were a nefarious person, the notes, right? If you were a nefarious person, you could have done a lot of damage to other people in the organization, or you could steal their leads, just reassign those leads to you.
Or you could be doing just some random housekeeping, innocuous housekeeping stuff, like, hey, I'm just going to go clear out all my old leads older than like 2 years old that I haven't touched, and realize that you might be stomping on Janet's leads.
Yeah, exactly. So Salesforce, interestingly enough, Salesforce, according to, and we're going to put links to this, we have a link to the original post that was made by Salesforce, as well as a link to a follow-up post that they made several months later as a postmortem, what they learned. But what we know from their posts is they did not notice that they had done this. A customer called in and said, hey, this is odd. Everybody apparently can modify everybody's leads, right? And by the way, just to put a point on that, it's sort of like in file permissions. If you have modify permissions, you have all of the others, right? Yep. You have read, write, you know, modify, delete, right? So, it appears that they only had this privilege to records. They didn't have, they at least didn't grant this permission to be able to modify things like configurations, right? So they couldn't go in and basically delete Janet or change Janet's permissions as a person, as a user, but they could go in and access and do everything to her data, right? So it's important to just mention that. Anyway, so they didn't notice that they did this. Customers called in, and then they very quickly, they had, you know, what I would call, you know, an oh shit moment. Right? And they're like, holy cow, that maintenance script that we ran, it appears that it did, you know,
a lot of damage.
A lot more than we had intended to do. And they realized they had really messed up.
Yeah.
And so the first thing they did was just say, okay, just shut down everything. Right. Yep. Which I think was probably the best thing they could do at the time, even though that would, of course, immediately tick off all their customers.
Yeah. Well, I do wonder if I agree that that's sort of like the nuclear option. Right. But I do wonder if maybe they could have at least, I guess I was just thinking, could they have removed the modify all and just given like view only? But then some orgs, it still might have been bad to allow Steve to see Janet's leads.
The problem was I don't think, you know, based on the records and stuff that we have, I'm not sure they even knew the extent of the damage that they had caused.
It's like a ransomware attack where you just pulled a network cable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a great scene in you know, one of my favorite shows, Alias, where he goes running into the server room and he literally is like flipping power switches, you know, they're downloading all the files off the server and he's just flipping all the power switches. It was pretty much like that. And so they that was their first response. And then what did they do?
So then after that, well, so that shut it down, but it was only for the organizations that were impacted.
By the way, I just want to interject. What we now know is that the organizations that were impacted was any user or any organization that had used Pardot, which is their marketing automation it's the Salesforce equivalent to Marketo, right? So this is the thing that's going to email your customers and things like that, right? So anyone who had ever used or was currently using Pardot, that turns out to be who was impacted.
So after that, let's see, what did they do?
I'm not exactly sure exactly when what happened, because we don't exactly have a timeline, because there's multiple posts and multiple articles. And, you know, we even have there's a Stack Exchange thread that we could follow during this outage.
Yeah, even though we don't know that timeline, Curtis, I think the one thing we can just sort of take away from all these articles is they did try to fix it themselves. They weren't like, hey, users, we have nothing to do. Good luck. Go pound sand. Right. It looks like they were internally trying to do things to fix this and looking at various technologies or resources that they might have had. But as we know, that takes time. Right. And as a user at that time, they weren't really forthcoming about, hey, we're trying things internally either. Right. They didn't want to give users hope.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if they were communicating. You know, it does show that they mass emailed some users. All we have access to is what they said publicly. And publicly, again, around this time, they had this post where they said, hey, we messed up. We gave modify all. And here are a couple of ways that you can potentially fix this if you want to fix this yourself. And because that was obviously a question that people asked is, hey, can I fix this on my account so that I can get my account back online? And you know that the response just really infuriates me, because they gave them two options and they had to do with the sandbox. They basically said, if you made a sandbox, which is something that you can do regularly, which if you don't know, a sandbox is, it's a place where you can play with your data and mess it up,
right?
And it's fine. It's what?
It's like a clone.
It's a clone that you can automatically make with Salesforce. It's some people actually treat it like a backup. I don't, because it's all in the same place. So it doesn't conform to the 3-2-1 rule. But they said, if you happen to have a recent backup, you could go and get the permissions from there. Because remember, they don't have to restore the data. They didn't mess up the data. They messed up the permissions of the data, of the users.
And just to correct you, you meant to say sandbox, not backup in that statement, correct?
Oh, did I? Did I call?
Yeah.
Ouch. You are correct. I meant to say sandbox. So if they're saying, if you happen to have a recent sandbox copy of your instance, and it's recent, this is the problem. It needs to be recent enough to have the user's permissions to match your current permissions, but it can't be too recent, because if it was too recent, in other words, if it was made in the last few hours, it's just a backup of our mistake, right? It's just a copy of our mistake. So they were saying that. What infuriates me, Persona, is not once did in any of the external stuff that Salesforce put out, not once did they say, by the way, if perchance you did what Curtis tells you to do and actually backed up your data, you could just go and easily restore the users table is what, for those of you that don't know, Salesforce has, all these different tables. It's like any other database. They call them objects. So it would have been the user's object is what I would assume was
that they said restore.
Yeah. And you could restore your user's object to any time before, 12:35 a.m. on May 17th, 2019, and you'll be fine. But they never said that. I remember posting a blog at the time that basically said Salesforce proves they know nothing about backup.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like they never once suggested, they sort of thought of the sandbox as a backup and never thought that anybody might want to have backed up their Salesforce.
Of course not. Because who does backups of Salesforce? You don't need no stinking backups.
Nice. All right. Brownie points. or extra points if you can tell me what movie that is referring to. And I mean the original movie, not the second movie that...
not the Rob Schneider one?
Oh, that would be a third movie.
Because of what, that was Waterboy?
What's it? No. Yeah, I don't know. I'm referring to the original movie starring Humphrey Bogart. Called The Treasure of Sierra Madre.
Oh. I think we've had this discussion before.
Yeah, we don't know nothing about no stinking badges. Great. Yeah, great line. Yeah. Anyway, why don't you read this this part about the stack exchange part? There's an interesting comment on the stack exchange thread there. You see that?
That's not even the worst. Yeah. That is going. Yeah. So yeah. So on Stack Exchange, one of the users commented, "That's not even the worst that is going on. Apparently, in an attempt to fix this, they removed the modify access all data from all admin profiles in some instances, including standard and custom profiles."
So they removed the permission even from the people that needed the permission.
Which basically means you end up with a read-only copy of your data while they're trying to figure things out. Well, because I can see that they don't want you to change anything because it might not let them restore things back to a good state later on.
Yeah, you know, in that Stack Exchange thread, which we'll put a link to it in the show notes. In that Stack Exchange thread, they were saying that as this was going on, Salesforce was saying, "Please don't try to fix this yourself. We got it. Like we think we can fix it." So let's talk about some of the things that they did, you know, in the back end. And by the way, this is all news to me. This was not covered in the original stories that covered this. This was, you know, in classic, you know, news stuff, they only cover that initial explosion. No one covers the remediation and everything afterwards, especially given that this was...
It's a not sexy stuff, right?
It's not as sexy. Yeah, if it bleeds, it leads. And this is, you know... So about 7 months later, so this was May, and in January of 2020, I just realized like the time frame. You're like, this is a group of people that are writing. They're just writing about this problem that happened in last year. Little did they know in 2 months that the world is going to fall apart.
Yeah. So the first thing they attempted to do was run a backout script. They were like, "Hey, we had a script that ran. We should just go undo it," which in my mind makes total sense, right? You're like, "Hey, the script did something. Let me just go undo everything that I just did."
And it looks like the script had automatically, it basically made a backup of the permissions that it was supposed to change, right? Yeah. Which is what a script should do. Before I go do a bunch of stuff. Yeah. So why didn't that work?
The problem is it did not, however, record things that it had done that it wasn't supposed to have done.
Yeah. So the backup line didn't have the asterisk in it. and the execution line did. I'm sorry. I'm having Schadenfreude at the expense of this poor person. Who, you know, according to the aftermath and the report, you know, they said, did we follow our process? They did follow their processes. They did most of their processes. What they didn't do when they did the initial script run that did all of this, they tested it. But what they didn't do was they didn't do a phased rollout of the script. They were like,
"The entire
environment. We got it. You know, this guy wrote it. This person, sanctioned the script. We've tested the script. The script runs. Run it everywhere."
Did they do it on a Friday evening morning?
Let's see. May 17th, 2019. It was a Friday. They did it on Friday. Oh, those poor guys, you know. They didn't have a weekend. So they did have a variety of technologies that they could possibly use to solve this problem. And one of them was that they have a DR instance. We talk about this with 365 as well, because we know that 365 has a rolling, replicated copy of their system, right? So this is, again, this is a quote from their report. A site switch to a DR instance was not an option, since the purpose of the DR option is to replicate in near real time the state of the primary site, which meant that the inadvertent permission change would have been replicated in near real time to the redundant site. We talk about this, don't we?
Yeah. DR isn't intended to be a backup. That is not its purpose.
Yeah. Well, I would say replication, we've talked about this in previous episode, replication, which is what they're using by itself, is not a backup, right? Because as I jokingly say, it makes mistakes more efficient, right? And that's what they're saying here is, it would have, they're like, well, we knew we couldn't use that. And then there was another thing that they talked about called flashback. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So flashback, their database vendor has this technology which allows you to sort of keep a point in time of the database automatically in the system. And so you could use that to restore from in case something happens. Now, the one challenge, though, is they did look to see, can we go use our flashback area to restore the database, get everything up and running again? Unfortunately, they only kept 6 hours.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the furthest back they could run, because that makes sense. You have some sort of database corruption or you accidentally drop a table. You just need to go back a couple seconds. You're good to go.
Yeah, they don't say it, but it looks like they're referring to an Oracle feature. And there are a series of features there, but it's kind of like the snapshot thing, right? You can go back to when you took the snapshot, but if you want to go longer than that, you don't have, because there's a window that they specify, and 6 hours must have been the window, and they were past the window by the time they optioned. So it's interesting, the option that they chose to figure out what permissions were what to be able to, you know, to restore them. Because the problem, once you've granted modify all, well, how do you know what to go back to, right? You can't just say read all, right? Because even that, right, you know? So what they started doing is essentially log scraping, right? They call it log mining to look at customers' instances to see what permissions in the logs that these things were set to. And that's what they began, and they started going through. And in the story, in the postmortem, there are these series of, we think we did this, we think we did that, you know, we've restored all these instances. There were dozens of instances that were affected, and they're like, we think this instance is good, this instance is good. So if you're on that instance, then you're good. But even when all that was done, there were still customers that were not restored. And they said, you know, that we're working with you. And then they gave instructions on how to basically manually fix this. And
which, if you have thousands of salespeople.
Right. You know what would have been really helpful to those customers in this scenario, Persona?
Using another vendor?
Yeah, a backup, right? If they backed up the data out of Salesforce into another vendor, so companies, you know, that use Salesforce and other CRM products, and if they used a backup, they would have been able to fix this literally like that.
A backup intended for Salesforce.
Yes, a backup of Salesforce intended for Salesforce. I'm not sure what other method you were
thinking. No, so I was thinking, like, someone could have done a backup by just dumping out the objects.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I don't know if that would have necessarily kept all the permissions as well if they hadn't backed up or dumped the user table as well.
Well, if you can do a manual backup of Salesforce, it basically gives you all the objects. The only problem with every manual backup is you have to manually do it. You have to do it every once in a while, which means I don't know how often you're going to be doing it. It might be once a week. It still would be better than nothing.
Nothing.
But you basically, it just means your permissions would be a week old, which in this case would be a good thing.
Yeah.
But it just drives home again to me that there are, you know, you've heard me say this. I think I said it in the last episode of like there is more in heaven and earth, Horatio, than dreamt of in your philosophy. There are things that can happen to you in the cloud. The cloud isn't magic. There are things that you're not going
to
anticipate.
But I want it to be magical.
Yeah, it is just as magical as actual magic, which is an illusion. So I love magic, by the way. I'm a big fan. Like I went and saw David Copperfield in Vegas and I was amazed. I loved it. But inside, I knew it was all just an illusion. Yeah. So, you know, my advice isn't so much to Salesforce. Salesforce did as much as they could do in this scenario. It seems like they were communicating with their users. They had a status page like we tell them to do. Maybe
I think the only thing I would fault them for is maybe a bit more communication about what they're doing internally.
Again, I think they may have been doing that, just not publicly the way publicly. We were looking, right? So maybe they were communicating privately. Because they said in their postmortem, they're like, what could we have done better? And they listed a whole bunch of things they were doing to communicate what was going on. We just outside, I was really angry at the time because all I saw was that one page, because I saw the one page where they said, hey, sorry, we just messed up all your permissions. And so can you fix it? And by the way, we're not going to mention backup. I was furious at the time. So I'm a little less furious, but this is just another big example of why we back up, you know, everything, and why we recommend backing up cloud vendors and especially SaaS vendors.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts from you from the Peanut Gallery?
I think that's the right thing. They did everything they could, and users should have backed up their data.
Once again, we're blaming the victims.
It could have easily been avoided, though.
It could have. Back it up or give it up, people. Thanks for listening. You know, you are why we do this. We want to turn you into cyber recovery heroes. That's a wrap.
The Backup Wrap-Up is written, recorded, and produced by me, W. Curtis Preston. If you need backup or DR consulting, content generation, or expert witness work, check out backupcentral.com. You can also find links from my O'Reilly books on the same website. Remember, this is an independent podcast, and any opinions that you hear are those of the speaker and not necessarily an employer. Thanks for listening.